Getting to know a person is sometimes very difficult. We human beings are very complex creatures, and you might live with your mate for decades and still be learning new things about them. However, there's one thing we know about everyone, whether we've ever met them or not. We know that if a person is alive, he had both a mother and a father. This fact is true about all but three people. There were three who walked the earth, about whom it is not true. It is not true about Adam, the first man created. It is not true about Eve, the woman who was made from a rib in his side. And there's one other. And that other one is our topic today as we explore God's truth for the world.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
We're very happy that you've decided to join us this day for this broadcast of Truth for the World. It is certainly our privilege to be able to study God's Word together with you. If you have your Bible handy, go ahead and take it out and be prepared to study along with us, for we will apply ourselves to a study of God's Word. There are many things that we might discuss, even some things of importance, but nothing is of greater importance than the Word of God. We will turn to it and use it as our source of authority, because that is the only source of authority that we have in matters of religion. We began a study last week looking at Jesus the Christ. We began by first examining the pre-existence of Christ, noticing that Jesus existed long before he came to this earth and lived in the flesh. We're going to continue with that study today by looking at the fact that Jesus did come to this earth, that he was born, that Jesus was born of a virgin. The birth of Christ. How is it that he came to exist in the flesh? In our opening comments, we mentioned the fact that everyone who is alive has both a mother and a father. This is true of all who have lived, with three exceptions. We know that Adam was created by God from the dust of the earth. We have that record in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We know that his wife, Eve, was made by God out of a rib that came from the side of Adam. Therefore, these two did not have mother or father. However, when we look at Jesus, we see that he had a mother, yet did not have a father. Not an earthly father. Now, it would be wrong to say that he had no father, but he did not have an earthly father. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was born of woman. He was prophesied to be of the seed of woman all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And we are told that he is born to the Virgin Mary. This is a woman who had never had any kind of sexual relation with a man. Therefore, Jesus could not be the product of a mother and a father, as all the rest of us are. However, he did have a father. His father is Jehovah, Jehovah God. It is by the work of God, the miracle of God, that the Virgin Mary was able to conceive and bear a child. Now, there are many who choose not to believe the Bible record, but that shouldn't surprise us, for there are many who reject the Bible record not only regarding this miracle, but regarding all miracles, and there are those who reject the entire Bible account on all matters. We need to look at the Bible and see whether or not it gives us credible evidence. That means evidence that can be believed. We need to try to understand why there are some who disbelieve, so that we know where we should stand and we can properly defend what the Bible teaches regarding this doctrine. The Bible does clearly teach that Jesus was born of a virgin, and we'll look at some of those verses in just a moment. But I'd like to begin the study by looking at the fact that the error that man teaches on this particular topic, the number of false doctrines attached to the virgin birth, oftentimes causes people to disbelieve. There are those who turn to December the 25th. They call this particular day Christmas, and they worship and celebrate on this particular day the birth of Christ. However, the Bible doesn't say anything about this particular day. In fact, Christmas is not even recognized by all countries and all people. All people who do keep this particular holiday don't keep it on the same date. In fact, it's kept on many different dates. The fact of the matter is that the Bible does not tell us what day Jesus was born. It also doesn't tell us what time of the year it was, although there is some evidence, because we know at the time that he was born, that the angels appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds were out in the fields. They were in the fields keeping their sheep. This probably means that it was not during the time of the year that most people celebrate this holiday of Christmas. It was probably during the time of the year when it was warm, when they were able to keep their sheep out in the fields. No matter when Jesus was born, the Bible does not command us or authorize us in any way to keep this particular day as a holy day. The fact that the birth of Christ is celebrated now as a holy day, in great part, is the work of the Catholic Church. It is not from the Bible. It is not part of God's plan. It is not part of the New Testament Church. And the error that is taught surrounding this particular day is one of the things that causes people to disbelieve the virgin birth of Christ. Also, during this time of the year, when the birth of Christ is celebrated by many, the Christmas time of the year, there are many other things that are taught that are wrong. Oftentimes we see different manger scenes being put up. We see plays being put on by various religious groups. And they will have the baby in a manger. They will have the shepherds gathered around this particular small child with their animals. And they will have the wise men, usually three. I think three were probably chosen because the Bible mentions three gifts that were given. It does not say how many wise men came to visit. But we see all of them gathered around the manger. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, it says, "When they heard the king, they departed." Now, the "they" in this particular verse is the wise men who have traveled. They've traveled as far as Herod, and they have consulted of the king as to where Jesus is. "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was." Now, I'm sure all of you have seen the manger scene where the star is shining down on the manger and the shepherds and the wise men are all gathered around. But that's not what this next verse says. It says that the star shone above the child, that it was there. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced and were with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold and frankincense and myrrh." We find that the wise men did come to visit Jesus, that they did give three gifts, although the Bible never says that there were three wise men, but it says specifically that they visited him in a house. This means that the wise men had to have arrived sometime after the shepherds came. They did not come at the same time, and they did not visit the Christ in a manger. This was sometime afterward when they were already in a house. We also know that when Herod was trying to kill the Lord, he killed all of the children 2 years old and younger. This could have been a considerable amount of time after Jesus was born that the wise men arrived there. So this is another error that's taught, and it causes those who look at the Bible record and then they see these other things that are taught and depicted and they don't believe. They say, well, if people are going to teach something that's a lie in one area, maybe they're lying about the rest of it as well. Another error that is attached to this virgin birth is not really concerned with the Christ himself, but rather it's about Mary, the mother. The Catholic Church has developed a doctrine teaching the perpetual virginity of Mary, that Mary was a virgin at the time that Jesus was born, and that she continued to be a virgin for the rest of her life. Now, the Catholic Church does this because in their doctrine, they attach some uncleanness to the sexual activity, even between husband and wife, and they attach some impurity to a woman who has not only had these sexual relations, but then has borne a child. The Bible does not do this. Sometimes I ask the question, how long should a person be sexually pure? And usually the answer that comes back is, a person must be pure until they're married. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible teaches that we must be sexually pure until death. God expects us to always be pure. The fact that a man and woman marry each other, come together in a sexual way in that relationship, does not diminish the purity of either of them. We are taught in Hebrews chapter 13 that whoremongers God will judge. But the marriage bed, that is a different situation entirely, because that is honorable in all. We should understand then that the Bible does not teach a perpetual virginity of Mary, and nor should we. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, says, "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now notice, it didn't say that Joseph never had any kind of sexual relationships with Mary. It said he didn't do that until after Jesus was born. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 55, it says, Is not this the carpenter's son? Now Jesus had come to Nazareth, and he had been teaching, and they were rejecting his teaching. And they could not attack the teaching itself, so they decided to attack the one who did the teaching. Who does he think he is? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph, Simeon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? You see, Jesus had an earthly family. Jesus has a spiritual family, for he has the church, his bride. But he also had an earthly family. These brothers that are named, and even sisters that are referred to, they came from a union, a sexual union between Joseph, his father, and Mary, his mother. Because of that, we know that Mary was not perpetually a virgin. We need to also understand that the idea that Mary was this perpetual virgin came out of the ideas of Gnosticism. The Gnostics believed that they knew something special. And they believed that one of the things that they knew was that physical pleasure was sinful. And that intimacy, even between a married couple, had this tainted feel to it, this tainted look. And the Catholic Church adopted that, and that's where this doctrine of perpetual virginity came from. We need to understand where it came from, that it did not come from God, but rather came from man. And therefore, it is false. And we must take what the Bible teaches, not that which is taught by man. We also need to understand that the Bible very confidently and very clearly affirms the virgin birth of Christ. There is no way that an honest person can read the Scripture and come away with any other conclusion. If we look back to the Old Testament, we see that the prophets prophesied about this virgin birth. It should not have been a surprise. Rather, it should have been expected. In Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This prophecy is quoted in Matthew, or referred to in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, talking about the birth of Christ. Luke's account in chapter 1 and verse 31 says, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." This is fulfillment of this prophecy that was made. And in case we do not understand what the word virgin means, Luke chapter 1 explains to us, beginning in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She had not been with a man, Joseph or any other. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you, therefore. Also, the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God." Now, when we want to know about the virgin birth and how it happened, there's our record. God is the one that made this happen. And that is what we must accept about what happened. Now, do I understand all of the mechanics, how the Holy Spirit of God could overshadow her in such a way that would cause her to conceive? No, I do not. There is not any person alive who can. But I do know that is what God said. God had promised 700 years ahead of time that He would do it. And He brought it about. He brought it about by His own power. I do not have to be able to explain and understand the mechanics of that to know that it happened. And to know that it happened exactly as God revealed that it happened. We need to also understand that the Bible, through its genealogical records, makes it equally clear that Jesus had no earthly biological father. Notice the account from Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. "And Eliab begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Nathan, and Nathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, if you noticed in that particular reading, it says that Joseph was the husband of Mary, who... Now, who is the who in that verse? Well, the who points back to Mary, who is the mother of Christ. It did not say that Joseph begat Jesus. In fact, the list is broken. We have all of those others. One man begat another, who begat another, who begat another. And then we got down to Jacob, and it doesn't say that Jacob begat Joseph. Then it doesn't say that Joseph beget Christ. It says Joseph is the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Notice it did not say that Joseph beget Christ. Now also notice the record from Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Hillel. We need to understand that when these genealogies were given, they were given for reasons. They are given to increase our faith in what God has taught us. And they very clearly teach us that Jesus was born of Mary, whose husband was Joseph, and that Joseph, who was supposed to have been. You see, people who lived in the earth and who did not accept that Jesus was born of a virgin would look at Joseph, an earthly father, and they would say, "He's the one. That's your father." Jesus came to set them straight on that matter, to point out the fact that he had a father, but that father was in heaven. Because of these things, the fact that the Bible so clearly demonstrates, both from the prophets, from the actual account itself, from the genealogical records that it gives, we need to understand that the virgin birth is a fact. That it did happen just as God promised it would. It did happen just as God said it happened. Now, do men accept that? Sadly, the answer is no. There are many who still continue to reject it and to offer their objections. And we need to consider these objections because we will be met with them, and we need to understand how we might deal with them from the Bible. Some would say it is not possible, it's not biologically possible for a person to be born without a father. I agree 100%. It is not biologically, it is not humanly possible for a person to be born without a father. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a miracle of God. And when God works a miracle, there are no limits as to what He can do. He created the first man from the dust of the earth. Is it any harder for Him to create man from dust than it is for Him to cause conception without the use of a father? Certainly not. So when someone says it is biologically or humanly impossible, I agree, but that's not what we're talking about. Some, rather than offer objections, will simply say, why is the virgin birth so important? Why not just accept the fact that Jesus was born and walked the earth and died and forget about how he got here? Well, first of all, we need to understand that the Bible claims that Jesus was born of a virgin. And once the Bible claims something, it becomes important. For if the Bible is found to be a liar in any point, we must reject all of it. The Bible, however, claims that Jesus was born of a virgin and offers the evidence to back it up. Secondly, it shows us the nature of Christ. He was 100% human on this earth. We find him at different times thirsty and hungry, tired, lonely, and needing friends, sometimes needing solitude from those friends. He was human. He hurt just like you and I, suffered every temptation just like you and I will. Yet he did so without sin, according to the Hebrews writer. But he was also 100% God. That's the meaning in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For we find that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now there is a sense in which he is not the only Son of God. For those who are obedient to Christ are his children by adoption. Therefore I am a son of God. But I was not begotten of God. I was born again into the family of God, according to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But we find Christ as the only begotten of the Father. So the virgin birth is important because it shows us of his nature. Colossians 2 writes it this way, beginning in verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Thirdly, the virgin birth is important because our salvation depends upon it. Now, that doesn't mean that I have something to do with the virgin birth, but rather that it has something to do with me. The Bible doesn't require that I do anything regarding the virgin birth other than read what the Bible says, understand it, believe it, and even teach it to others. However, my salvation does depend on this virgin birth. We find in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, "But while he thought on those things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, God, through an angel, has made a declaration that the Savior of man, the Savior of the people, will come through Mary, through a conception that takes place with the Holy Spirit and not with man. Because of this, the Savior is the one who would be virgin-born. The virgin birth is very important to me, for it is how my Savior entered this world. It helps me to identify exactly who it is that came to die for me. His birth shows what His death would be. For this reason, it is vital. What does the Bible teach me regarding the Christ? It teaches me that He existed even before He came to this earth. And it teaches me that He came to this earth by being born of a virgin. No other has this distinction. This cannot be said about any other person at any other time. It shows us the very unique way that God brought about the redemption of mankind. Until next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.